This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by The Whispers. What if an imaginary friend was not imaginary? Innocent children are playing a dangerous game in this mysterious new television drama, The Whispers. Premieres Monday, June 1st on ABC. That's Monday, June 1st, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central on ABC. Check it out.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the campfire. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. You know, there are weeks when we have some good stories and some that may not be as compelling as others, but this is a star-studded, fantastic edition of the campfire, if I do say so myself. We just had so many great callers. Last evening, I had 9 callers, and all of the stories were great. Now, you won't hear all those stories in this episode, but you'll hear a bunch of them, and they're really compelling, so stay tuned. And something else I think is compelling is my Paranormal Plus Club over at jimharold.net. Check out the spring sale we're having over there through the end of May, and save some big bucks if you want to access hundreds of episodes of the Campfire and the Paranormal Podcast that are not on a free feed. Hundreds of more exclusive podcasts to the Plus Club that have never been on the free feed. Check it out over at jimharold.net. That's jimharold.net. And with no further ado, let's get on to these Campfire stories. Next up on the Campfire is Stephen. He's from Ohio. He's in law enforcement. So first of all, we thank him for his service. And it's interesting because I guess this story led him to our podcasts by having what he's going to describe to you. He did some research online and found the programs. And he says he was a skeptic, always fascinated with the paranormal, skeptic. And then this happened. Stephen, welcome to the program. And please tell us this strange experience.
Sure. Thanks very much, Jim. Like you said, I am a huge skeptic. I've always loved everything paranormal and anything to do with it, but because I've never had an experience myself until this incident. But it was during the summer about 2 years ago, regular average night, probably around 11 to 12 p.m. in the evening. I was by myself, had the TV on, was doing some online shopping on my iPad.
Right.
And I do have a roommate. However, he was away for the summer, so I'm in there by myself. I'm facing the hallway, which leads to my roommate's room, where he left a nightlight on while he's away out of town. Through watching the TV and the iPad, those were the only lights on in the house, I could see out of my peripheral the light from the nightlight. While looking at my iPad, I saw something pass it, almost as if something walked past the, you know, direct light.
Ooh.
So I happen to look up, and as I look up from my iPad, I see down the hallway there's a man standing there staring at me.
That'll get your attention. And probably not the first thing you're thinking is, it's a ghost. You're thinking, there's a person in my house.
Well, here's the thing about it, Jim, is this gentleman standing in my hallway was not transparent at all. He was not like a silhouette. I couldn't see through him. Not your typical thought of a ghost. It was a man standing in my hallway. I had never seen this man before. Kind of a burly, stocky guy, black t-shirt, jeans, red hair. Never seen him before, but if I was in front of a sketch artist for the police department, I could describe his every feature for the most part. Now, while I'm staring at this guy, like you said, my first thought is it's not a ghost, and I'm frozen. I can't move. I'm looking at him, and I'm familiar with like matrixing, and sometimes when you look
sure.
in the darkness and your eyes adjust, I'm sure you've had a situation where you thought you saw something that wasn't really there.
Right.
So I'm thinking, I'm telling myself in my mind, no, there can't be, you know, because I don't know who this guy is. So at this point, I lean over to get a better look because at this point, I can't see him very well in the darkness, but he can probably see me perfectly because the iPad light is right on my face. So I lean over to get a better look at him, and as soon as I do that, he leans over to look at me. And at that point, fight or flight situation would normally set in. But I listened to your podcast for the past 2 years, and I've heard a similar situation where you almost can't speak. You can't move.
Right.
You're almost, you know, compelled to do nothing but look and be in shock. And that's how it was. And like you mentioned at the beginning of this conversation, I'm in law enforcement. I've dealt with a lot of crazy situations. I couldn't move. Couldn't even react.
Now, some people might say sleep paralysis. You fell asleep and you were dreaming, but that's not the case, correct?
Not at all. I was doing online shopping. I was very active in what I was doing. I remember CSI was on the TV. I wasn't paying much attention to it. But I was doing it like you said, at first I thought, you know, I got to be dreaming, but me looking over, I knew I wasn't. So at this point, I'm thinking, I got to get out of here. I got to do something. I got to figure out, because either I'm going to have to engage him or I'm going to have to get out of the house. Well, unfortunately, this guy standing in the hallway was right in front of my room and the front door, which I have a firearm. It's in my room, so I wouldn't be able to get to it. The door, I wouldn't be able to get out. The only way I would be able to get to either of those things was engaging him. And that's not something I felt comfortable doing because I don't know what this guy has.
Yeah, you don't know what he has, and he's a burly guy and those kind of things. Sure.
Hasn't said a word, hasn't made any advancements. So we're just sitting there staring at each other for a good few seconds. It felt like forever. I've heard that a lot of times too, where it's only a few seconds, but it feels like time is running on forever. So many things are running through your head. I am terrified. I even thought for a second, I have a bay window right behind me on the couch.
Yeah.
I was almost thinking about trying to maybe jump through that and get away. But as I was thinking those things, this gentleman started to take steps towards me. And like I told you, I can't move. I can't even get away. I'm just so engulfed in this guy walking towards me. So he starts to inch closer and closer and walking towards me. And he's starting to come into the light and I'm getting a better look at him. And as soon as he clears the kitchen area where the shining light of the TV is, he hits the light and disappears.
Ooh, wow.
That more than anything completely put me in shock. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I sat there frozen for as long as I can think of. It wasn't until about, you know, like I said, it was around 12 o'clock. It wasn't about till 1:30 in the morning that I was actually able to click the power button of my iPad so I could get a better look down the hallway. So it was completely dark and I could see in the same light. I thought there was a man in my house and he completely disappeared in front of me. I'm a pretty observant guy. I've heard many stories and it really interests me. I've always loved the paranormal stuff. I've never had an experience. Now, Jim, I can't tell you if what I saw was a ghost or what it was that I saw, but I can definitely tell you it wasn't my eyes playing tricks. It wasn't me falling asleep. It was a guy standing in my hallway that disappeared right in front of me.
That is freaky. Now, do you still live there?
I do not. I recently moved out, and my first initial thought was, I got to figure out what was going on. I was frozen there till about 5 o'clock, and the light of the sun came up, and I finally was able to fall asleep and get peace of mind that there was no one in the home. And I wasn't even able to check if anyone was there until the morning. But my first initial thought was, like, I got to talk to my roommate. He knows a lot more about the property than I do.
Right.
He says he has heard some things. And he has seen some things, but he doesn't know of anything that would be kind of weird in that area. Now, I'm from Toledo, Ohio, like I mentioned to you, and we're pretty rich in paranormal sites. I guess this area in general was a big site of a huge Indian battle.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably some shady things that had went on. But that next night, I had trouble sleeping, and it brought me to sit on my iPad again and look up some information, try to figure out what I found.
Right.
Very shortly, I found the paranormal podcast, and I've been listening to it ever since.
So I guess I've got that guy in the hallway to thank.
Yeah, for sure.
In a strange way.
Yeah, absolutely. My girlfriend's an avid listener now as well. We listen to it every night that we get a chance, and I really enjoyed it.
And thank you.
Haven't really got any answers of what quite that was, but I'm still searching.
Oh, that's one of my favorite campfire stories. That is just a fantastic story. Thank you for sharing it with us. And it just makes you think, what in the world was that? And you said it was 1:30, about an hour and a half later. You did way better than me. I don't know if I could have moved for hours on end. I don't know what I would have done. I probably You know, after looking and making sure nobody was in the house, I would probably have left and gotten a hotel room or something. I'm a natural born coward, I guess. So.
Right. I felt the same way at the time. I was frozen. Couldn't move. I even kind of get jittery here talking to you about it because it's been a while since I've brought it up because it's a weird situation.
And I'm assuming you've never seen that guy again.
No. However, I have had a couple times where I've seen the door being shut by a hand early in the morning. I kept hearing the door shut. I've heard some creaks and things, but I like to dispel those things. As you know, maybe the wind or maybe my eyes playing tricks on me.
Right.
This one, this incident, I don't have an answer for.
Well, you know, it's very hard to find the answers, but it's interesting to hear the stories and ask the questions. And
absolutely.
Thank you so much, Stephen, for listening and for sharing this wild campfire story.
No problem. Thanks, Jim.
This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by The Whispers. Imaginary friends are cute, right? But what if an imaginary friend was not imaginary? In this mysterious new drama on ABC, someone is tricking innocent children into playing a dangerous game. FBI child specialist Claire Bennegan is trying to unravel the truth. When her own son becomes a pawn in a game, she's faced with a terrible choice. How do you protect your children from something you can't see? The show everyone will be talking about this summer, The Whispers. And how do I know everyone will be talking about it? Because I was lucky enough to see an advance copy of the first episode. And folks, I got to tell you, fasten your seatbelts. This is a great, great series. It's very much in the tradition of something like The X-Files a lot of spookiness, kind of The X-Files meets It. I mean, it's really, really well done. I don't want to give anything away, so I'm not going to say too much. I can just tell you, if you like programs like that, if you like to be a little bit scared, a hint of the supernatural, a hint of the sinister, you've got to check out The Whispers. You know, going into it, I got this copy and I said, well, I really hope this is good. And it really was. In fact, when the premiere comes on, I'm going to be watching it. I'm going to watch it with my wife. And then we're going to continue to watch it because I can't wait to see what happens. And it is just so well done. You know, the executive producer on this is Steven Spielberg. No slouch. So you know he only gets involved with high-quality projects. And that's certainly what this is. I think this is going to be a smash hit for anybody interested by supernatural intrigue. And I got to tell you, the just some creepy stuff in the show. Just fantastic. You are going to love it. Now, the series premiere is on Monday, June 1st on ABC. That's Monday, June 1st on ABC. That's at 10 p.m. Eastern and 9 Central on ABC. All I can say is The Whispers. Check it out. Remember, imaginary friends are cute. But what if they are not imaginary? Check it out. The Whispers.
If you love these great ghost stories, please tell a friend about Jim Harold's Campfire today. Now, we return to the show.
Sylvia joins us from California. She's been listening for about a year, found us on the iTunes app. Of course, we're so thankful to the folks over at Apple. And Sylvia is also a proud Plus Club member, so we thank her for that. Sylvia, welcome to the program. And I know you have this poignant story surrounding your daughter's birthday. And or it might be your daughter's birthday, but either way, it is a poignant story. Tell us what happened.
Hi there. Yes, I'm glad to be on the show. Basically, my family is from Germany, so and my great grandmother was British. So tea time is very important.
Sure.
Something, 4 o'clock every day. And my grandmother had passed away about 4 years ago in her 90s. And so ever since she had passed on, I had felt her. I mean, she would run her hands through my hair. I could feel and sense it. So I knew she was always there. So fast forward to December. This past December was my daughter's 15th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
We had taken a few of her friends. We all went out to dinner and met up with my mom. So my mom and I were talking about my grandmother, and she had let me know how my grandmother had always thought my daughter reminded her of her mother as a child. So that was kind of key to the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just talked about good times, about tea time, and how I always used to go over there, ride my bike, and drink tea with my grandma, and it was something I really cherished as a child. And after the dinner, I had drove home with my daughter's girlfriends, and my husband had taken his daughter and her boyfriend to the grocery store because we were having a slumber party. So I got home first. The girls and I were all sitting around the table, laughing, having a good time. I got up to set the cake out to get it ready next to the refrigerator, and got the candles out, got everything prepared for us to sing happy birthday to her. My husband came home with the groceries. Each one of them had a bag. They both all dropped off the bags on the opposite side mm-hmm. of the counter. And they left them there for me, of course, to unpack. And they all went to the kitchen, to the living room. So, and I was getting ready to unpack them. And all of a sudden I heard my kettle. I have a tea kettle that I always keep on the stove. I drink tea myself. But I heard it whistling. And I thought, that's weird. Am I going crazy? I mean, I literally thought, am I going crazy? Did I turn that on? So I thought, no, maybe my stepdaughter, she turned it on because she enjoys drinking tea as well.
Right.
And I did. I asked her, I said, hey, did you turn on the kettle to make some tea? And she kind of looked at me like, no, it was turned on when we dropped the bags off. And my husband confirmed it. He's like, yeah, I saw the burner turned on and the kettle on, and we thought you had turned on the tea kettle to make tea. And I looked at the girls. I thought I was just going crazy, like I had lost time and just automatically, maybe I just turned it on just out of habit. I asked the girls, because we were all joking around talking, and my daughter, and I said, did I go to the stove and turn on the kettle? And they looked at me like, no, you were nowhere near it. You never turned on the stove. And the stove is pretty new. It's only like 5 years old. It's a gas stove. You have to push the button in. You have to turn it to the right, and it clicks 3 times. And then the flame lit, you know, lights up, and then you turn it to the temperature. Not once did I hear those clicks. So it was just on. And the kettle was whistling. So, of course, the girls all had big eyes knowing they were going to spend the night wondering how this happened. Luckily, it was the burner with my kettle on, and there was water in there, or I'd have a burnt kettle. But, yeah, I thought that was, I really felt like that was my grandma saying happy birthday to my daughter. So I decided to make a cup of tea.
Yeah, that sounds like a good thing to do. And it would seem to me that it would make sense, because that is a mm-hmm. way that she knows that you could relate back to her. So I do believe mm-hmm. that when we look at these things, I think sometimes people feel that it's always going to be the full body apparition or something like that. But I think, and I've told my own story about my brother, I think right. that sometimes these loved ones who have passed over will communicate to us in a very personal way that really is mm-hmm. validating for us specifically. And I think that would be the case with you for this.
Yes, definitely. I mean, like I said, I feel her. I've never seen a full apparition, but since actually her daughter passed away before my aunt, I was very close to her. Since the two passing, I've had been touched many a times, whether it's my hand or, you know, my grandmother running her hands through my hair. So, yeah, definitely. I know they're around.
Well, Sylvia, I thank you so much for taking time tonight and telling us this very poignant story on the campfire. And thanks for your support.
Oh, you're welcome. And in the future, I'll call back because I have many more of those stories.
Sounds good. We can't wait to hear.
All right. You take care. Thank you.
Leslie joins us from Toronto. Her mom told her about the show. I love these stories where family members, coworkers, friends tell people about the show. So, hey, if you're listening, not a not so subtle hint to tell a friend or a family member or a loved one. Well, Leslie has a story here about some mysterious phone calls that happened after the passing of her sister. Leslie, sorry for your loss, but really interested to hear these types of stories. So thank you for sharing, and please tell us what happened.
Oh, well, thank you. So this happened 8 days after my sister passed away. I was at work, and I received a phone call. And when I looked on the caller ID, it listed my company name and the company phone number, which was very odd because I'm the only person that works in the office during the day. There's no other phones. There's no one else that could be calling from within the office.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's really weird. So when I picked it up, I said hello, and there was just some muffled noise, and it just lasted a couple of seconds, and then the phone hung up. And I thought that maybe there had been something wrong with the phone or with the caller ID, and I didn't really give too much thought to it, to be honest.
Right.
And then within, it was exactly 5 minutes later, and my brother messaged me and asked me if I'd ever seen our home phone call itself.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah, and I was kind of surprised, and I said, what do you mean? And he said that while he was out that day with my parents, and they had just returned back to the house, and he was going through the phone to see who I called that day. And he noticed that one of the listings was our last name as the caller ID and our phone number, the exact same thing that happened to me when I was at work.
Huh.
And we were comparing back and forth with what had happened, and there had been a message left that was just a couple seconds of this muffled noise, and it hung up, which was exactly what I had heard.
Right.
And we've since tried to call ourselves, and I thought maybe there was something with the fax machine when I was at work, but there was nothing. We haven't been able to get through and leave a message on our own phone. It just shows up as busy.
Hmm.
It's really odd.
It is. Strange.
Yeah. And, you know, I truly, truly believe it was my sister. I know it's probably, you know, doesn't make sense, but I do believe it was her. And how does that happen through both of us at the same day within a couple of hours? It's, you know.
Well, it's interesting. Sometimes the shows tend to produce themselves and come up with a theme. You'll have no way of knowing this, because if folks don't understand how I put this show together, what I do is I have these blocks of times, and I just solicit people to call in and ask them to call in for the show, or they set the time that I actually call out to them. And I don't really theme the shows. I don't say, well, this night I want callers on this subject. But we just had a very similar caller right before you. And that caller specifically talked about a loved one who got in touch in a very specific way. And it sounds like it's another one of these cases.
Yeah. It's really odd that happened to both of us. And that also, like, the numbers, the phone calls that were very significant to us as a family. And the one that was left on my house, it was at 12:12, and 12 is my brother's birthday and his favorite number.
Right.
And when I got the call at work, it was at 3:43, and there are a lot of threes and fours in my birthday, my sister's birthday, her death date as well. It was very odd, and, you know, we believe that I didn't hear her speak, and that to me isn't unusual because she wasn't able to speak in life. So it's very, you know, but I do believe it was her. I don't know if she was telling me that she's okay or telling us that it's going to be okay, but you know, I believe those were her way of getting in touch with us.
Well, Leslie, I'm sure it was. I really do believe those things happen. And I'm assuming it provided, even though it was kind of mysterious, I'm guessing it provided some level of comfort.
Yeah, it really did. You know, she'd been sick for a little while, but her death was still it was still quite a shock to us. She had seemed to be doing better. So to me especially, it was quite a shock. And it's something that we've, you know, had a little bit of trouble with. So it really calmed me, I think, and made me feel a lot better. And I think it was just really nice.
Well, Leslie, I'm glad that you had that experience, even though I'm sorry for your loss. And I thank you for thinking enough of the program to share your story.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Next up on the campfire is Rebecca from North Dakota, but she's been listening for several months, and she has a story that is so scary that I'm not even going to start to tell it to spoil it, but it's quite frightening. Rebecca, welcome to the program, and tell us what happened.
Thanks, Jim. So we lived in Texas at the time, and my husband and I lived in two different towns, and he was in kind of central Texas, and he lived in an old farmhouse at the time. And my kids and I would go visit him and stay the night sometimes. This particular night, it was kind of cold, so the kids wanted to sleep in the living room. And in the middle of the night, I heard my daughter kind of whimpering. So I got up to find out what was going on. And I went into the living room, and she was on the couch. So I came down and sat beside her. And she looked up at me and said, "Mommy, why are the people in the fireplace screaming?"
Ooh.
Wow. So I was, I freaked out a little bit. So I picked the kids up and took them in the bedroom with me. But the next day we asked her kind of what, I didn't want to just go out and say, "Hey, why did you say that?" But just kind of, you know, asked her about the night before, and she had no memory of any of it. So after that, we kind of started asking about the house, and the woman who was the original owner, she was renting the house to us, and had lived in the house for a really long time. She said that, early in the history of the house, there had been a fire, and that particular section of the house had burned down and been rebuilt.
Wow, that is something else. Mommy, why are the people in the fireplace screaming? That's terrifying.
Yeah, just gave me chills. So there's also another, the house has been, just to kind of give you an idea of the setting, the house is right around the corner from where they filmed one of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies. So you could see the barn and the house from where they were filming.
That adds to the spookiness overall, but that one phrase, that might be the title of this week's show, because that's just so in your face and kind of like, wow, how do you react to this? And it also has to be frightening because you're dealing with your children. And I know as a parent, you tend to be very protective. So to think that your kids saw something like that, very, very frightening.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Rebecca. We certainly appreciate it for sharing this story. And, hopefully nothing like that will ever visit itself upon you guys again.
No, I hope not. That was plenty.
Mary from Missouri joins us on the campfire, and she has a story for us today. She's been listening since November. Mary, welcome to the program, and please tell us what happened.
Thank you. Yes, well, back in 1980, I was a new mom, and I had met my husband while we were both in the service. We were both in the Army,
mm-hmm.
and he was still stationed overseas in West Germany, and I had come back to the States to bring our new baby back to meet the parents. And he lived in Michigan, and I lived in Missouri. So I had taken a trip up to Michigan to be with the grandparents there.
Sure.
And they lived in a very old house that had been built back in the late 1870s. It was kind of a huge old dinosaur of a house, actually. That's what I thought of when I first saw it. And it had all kinds of angles, and the upstairs stairwell was a real narrow and steep, and when you got to the top, there was a small bedroom on the right, and when you went inside there were actually three walls of windows. There was a window on three different walls of that room, and on the left side of the stairway was another bedroom, and right. So it was time to take a nap, the little baby, so I thought I'd take her upstairs and take a nap in the little bedroom to the right. So we went upstairs, and we were all cozy down in the bed and sleeping. And all of a sudden, there was this really huge boom. There was like this huge sonic boom, and Ooh. It just shook the whole house and the windows. The baby woke up, and I grabbed my baby, and I ran down these steps, and I ran into the kitchen, which was located right under that little bedroom where my mother and father-in-law were having their afternoon coffee. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what happened? What was that? And they looked at me and they said, what? And I said, the boom, the shaking. And they were like, what are you talking about?
Ooh.
So I was just totally dumbfounded. I didn't know what to think of it. And then that was the first thing that happened in that house. And then about 18 years later, we had become the type of people that would go to the other state to visit during the holidays. We'd travel either to Michigan or we'd travel to Missouri, whichever place we happened to live that time, because we did move back and forth a few times. And this time we had traveled to Michigan from Missouri. And it was a long journey back then. It was quite, you know, a big thing to spend the entire day driving. And
sure.
When we got there, there was family for the spring vacation, and there was a whole house full of people. And so it just so happened that I had the upper bedroom, the little small bedroom again to sleep in. And so then after a full day's worth of visiting and such, we finally settled down, and I was sleeping. And I was really feeling this sensation of something very warm and very pillowy on the bottoms of my feet. And it kind of made me move around, and I was like, well, that's kind of weird. And it just felt nice and warm and comfortable, and it just kind of pushed my feet towards my head as I'm laying. And I kind of woke up, and when I did, I lifted my legs kind of up towards the ceiling.
Right.
But then my legs went down. And when they went down, I thought, how strange. And I opened my eyes, and there was some huge crash. And then the bed shook so hard that it made me utter like this, like, it just shut me to no end. And then it stopped shaking, and I heard this strange noise. And the best way I can describe it is like someone took a heavy spoon and clacked it inside one of those old coffee cups, those real thick ceramic ones.
Right.
So this noise went clack, 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 clack. And I went out the window like a spiral. It just spiraled and went out the window. And I'm telling you, for months, I could not figure out what happened. And then it finally hit me that the big crash was me. I was let down. I was crashed down from some height, and I crashed down on the bed.
And wow.
Then it shook me. And so that was the second thing that happened there. And then, you know, many more years went by. And during that time, you know, sadly, my husband got into drugs really bad. Mm-hmm. And so he had moved back to his parents' home there to, you know, to recuperate and such. And then one day I received a call that he had committed suicide in that same little room. I know. And it's just, it's really sad and it's tragic, but I just, you know, I did do some research on the home, on the house, and back in the early 1900s, there was a doctor that actually had his office there in that house. And it was, like I said, just a big old rambling farmhouse. It had a dirt floor basement and field stone walls. And, you know, it was just one of those unbelievably big, creepy houses. And they had refurnished it and, reupholstered everything inside it and over the years. So it was comfortable for them. But there was, you know, it was just a very old house.
Well, Mary, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your story. Sorry for your loss. That's a very difficult thing.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing your experience on the campfire.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Now, that was a fun campfire and some really, really chilling stories. We really hope that you will add your own voice and your own stories. Go over to jimherold.com/campfire. That's jimherold.com/campfire. And also, the way that the word spreads is if you tell people about the show. So please tell your friends, your family. We heard some of that this week in the show. And also, please leave a review and a little blurb about it. If you listen on iTunes or the podcasts app, please go in and do that. That is huge. You don't realize how big that is. That really catapults us up the charts. And if you listen via Android or other programs, please rate us and review us wherever you do find us. We thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next time on The Campfire. Stay spooky. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.